The following broadcast is brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International.
Take your Bibles and go with me to our main passage of scripture for this whole week from the book of Mark, chapter 5, and I want to read to you from verse 25. Now, this is what hit me on Sunday night of the summer camp meeting that actually brought us to this place where we are tonight, I mean today and tonight, this whole week. Verse 25, now in the crowd that day, a woman who had suffered horribly from continual bleeding for 12 years. She'd endured a great deal under the care of various doctors, yet in spite of spending all that she had on their treatment, she was not getting better, but rather worse. When she heard about Jesus' healing power, she pushed through the crowd and came up from behind and touched his garment, for she kept saying to herself, "If I can only touch his clothes, I know I will be healed." As soon as her hand touched him, her bleeding immediately stopped. She knew it, for she could feel her body instantly being healed of her disease. Jesus knew at once that someone had touched him, for he felt the power that always surged around him had passed through him for someone to be healed. He turned and spoke to the crowd, saying, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples said, "What do you mean, who touched you? Look at this huge crowd. They're all pressing up against you." But Jesus' eyes swept across the crowd, looking for the one who had touched him for healing. When the woman who had experienced this miracle realized what had happened, she came to him trembling with fear, threw herself down at his feet and said, "I was the one who touched you." And she told him her story of what just happened. Then Jesus said, "Daughter, because you dared to believe, your faith has healed you. Go in peace in your heart and be free from your suffering." Now, here's the thing that I want to draw to your attention here this morning in laying the foundation for this whole week is the scripture from the Passion Translation, comes straight from the Aramaic, said the power always in and around him went out of him. So that tells me something about Jesus. And this tells me and explains to me everything that I've felt all the years as we've ministered under the anointing and had the privilege of doing that in 60 countries of the world. There was many times I was not able to describe what I felt until I actually read this passage from the Passion Translation. That there was a continual presence that was around him. That was in him and that was around him. Which this tells me what God's plan is for the church, that there should always be his presence in you and his presence around you, that there should be the tangibility of the very presence of the anointing. And I met many Christians, you know, they've received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and there's those that have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but then there are those that is next level. It's next level. That this is not just something that they dip their toes in once a week, once a month. They kind of live in that place. And maybe that was the thing that sparked in me the desire, even as a young boy, because knowing that God had called me, sitting, listening to preachers, and then you leave the service and you go, "Nah." Even as a kid, you go, "What was that about?" Because you could You could hear he was speaking and you could hear that he was giving information, but you didn't feel anything that came with it. There was no weight coming with the word that if it is a word from heaven, then it shall not fall to the ground. If it is a word from heaven, then it is something that will burn, because he said, is not my word like a fire? Is not my word like a hammer that breaks the rock into pieces? And there are people, and even those in the ministry, that would say, you cannot live that way. That's fine every now and then, but I beg to differ with you. I want to say to you today that there is a place for the church to live. It is right smack dab in the middle of the surge of the very glory of God and the very presence of God. There is no other way. The three Hebrew children were taken and thrown in the middle of the fiery furnace. The enemies that threw them in were taken out.
Yes, yes.
Were taken out. And guess who was in the middle? Right in the middle of the furnace was the fourth man, one like under the Son of God. This is not some additive that we do. Oh, yeah, we've got a special conference coming up, and we're going to have a special every service. That's why I don't, you know, people say, oh, it's Pentecost Sunday. Every Sunday for us is Pentecost Sunday. Then they say, oh, it's Resurrection Sunday. Every Sunday for us is Resurrection Sunday. Then they tell me, oh, it's the time of the Feast of the Tabernacles. I said, every Sunday is Feast of the Tabernacles. What are you talking about? No, 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 you can't live like that. Yes, you can. Don't listen to the voice of the gainsayers. Read the word. Jesus is walking on the road to Jairus' house. It's not a service. There was no band playing. There was no choir singing. He was not preaching. He was just walking along the road. And a woman came and pressed for the crowd. There was a power that was always around him. There was a power that was always surging around him. Many other people touched him, but they didn't get what the woman with the issue of blood got, because they did not place a demand on what Jesus had. Your miracle can come right by you and you don't even know it. Your miracle can walk right by you and you missed your moment. You missed your opportunity because you never placed a demand. You didn't come hungry. You didn't, oh, we're going to the river here. You know, they'll worship. They'll have some testimonies. It'll be great. Some people get happy. What? No, you say in your spirit, I tell you, if nobody else gets anything, I'm going to get everything. If whatever heaven has, I'm receiving. If no one else gets anything at church, I want to get touched by the hand of God. I'm going to receive what God has for me. I'm coming hungry. I'm coming thirsty. So I have ministers come to me. They say, so which meetings do you go to receive? I said, listen, do you think I'm smoking weed? No, no. Do you think I'm smoking crack? Do you think I'm smoking some kind of a pipe? I said, the same time when the Holy Ghost falls in the meeting, I'm receiving. I'm not stupid. I don't have to go to a meeting to receive. We have meetings where the power of God comes. And when the power of God comes, if nobody else takes it, I'll take it. I'll grab a hold of it. I'm going to grab a hold of it. My life is going to be touched this week. My life is going to be transformed this week. I'm going from glory to glory to glory to glory. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Because in essence, all I am is an usher. I usher in the presence of the Lord. Then I just step back and watch what happens. I actually don't do anything. It's actually ridiculous. And as you see, I've done myself out of a job. Because Because most ministry is about elevating yourself and making it all about you and everything's around you. But the kingdom of God is resting upon the church, not upon one or two or three. So verse 30, he felt the power that always surged around him and passed through him. That's why you never knew what was going to happen when Jesus came. You never knew what was going to take place. If he showed up at a wedding, it became a party. If he showed up at a funeral, they couldn't even have a normal funeral. He showed up at a place and everybody had a feast. And then there were baskets left over. Baskets left over. Because when Jesus comes, you never know what's going to happen. You know something's going to happen. You know it's not going to be business as usual. You know it's not going to be the same old, same old. Oh, yeah, we've seen that all before. No, because his mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. It's fresh bread from heaven. Can you say amen? It's sweeter than the honey and the honeycomb. It is wells of living water. It is out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. And it's all by and through the mighty third person of the Godhead, the Holy Ghost, who was sent to the earth by Jesus, the head of the church. So the power that was always around him had emanated from him to somebody in particular. That means God has something in particular for you. And you. And you. And you, and you, and you, and you. You might not need a new heart like Dell needed. You might need a new foot. You might need a new other things. Somebody say, well, let's just see if the Lord wills, maybe. We don't know the ways of God. God's ways are part finding out. Now we know the ways of God. We see the ways of God. God comes to those that are hungry. He comes to those that are thirsty. Forget about yourself and press in. Now, here's the interesting thing. So on the Sunday night when this took place, and I got up and actually read it for the first time publicly. Actually, I hadn't even read it privately. I was just test driving this translation. And I read it on the platform. It surged. And I actually was messed up for a month. I couldn't even talk about it. I would weep. Even now on holiday, I mean, just the moment I begin to even think about along these lines, I was a mess. So when we finally ended that Sunday night service, which was meeting number 16 of 8 days, at 2:30 in the early hours of Monday morning, and I got back up to my office, and there were ministers coming to say goodbye, people going to fly back to Europe and go back to wherever they came from, I open up the passage, and I'm beginning to read the footnotes, and of course, it began to talk about the fact that the same kind of thing took place in Acts 5. So I start reading Acts 5. So I'm up there preaching then to 4 o'clock in the morning. Because this is some big stuff here. So let me read Acts 5, Acts 5, 15. Now, so when the people heard that Peter, listen, they heard that Peter was not having a service. They heard that Peter wasn't in a meeting. He wasn't doing a conference. He wasn't preaching. Peter was just going to pass by. That's what they heard. So the people heard that Peter was going to pass by. They came and laid the people out in the streets. Why? Verse 15. In fact, when the people knew Peter was going to walk by, they carried the sick out into the streets and laid them down on cots and mats, knowing the incredible power emanating from him would overshadow them and heal them. So this was not about a healing service. This was just, if we can just put the people in the streets so when Peter walks by, the power surge, the power emanating from him, the people will be healed. It was said, at the height of Catherine Kuhlman's ministry that when she arrived in certain cities, she'd check into the hotel that if there were people, sinners, two, three floors above, two, three floors below, dying of cancer, instantly healed of cancer. Nobody prayed for them. People, listen, people have no clue. They don't understand how the anointing operates. And here's the thing. God looks for people that would carry his presence. You can carry the word and you can carry information. We have a lot of ministers that carry great information. But unfortunately, they don't have much revelation. And they've not had an encounter with the Holy Ghost. This is imperative that every individual, bar none, have an encounter with the Holy Ghost. I don't care who you are. And this week I'll talk to you about the difference between being baptized in the Holy Ghost and being baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. There's a difference. There is a difference. There is a difference. There's a lot of people receive the Holy Ghost, but they don't have that fire. There's no reason to not have any fire. Come on. This is the same power that overshadowed Mary. Luke 1:35. Gabriel answered, "The spirit of holiness will fall upon you. The Almighty will spread his shadow of his power over you in a cloud of glory." That's what's going to happen this week, that the cloud of the glory of God is going to be spread over you. Even on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17, verse 1. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter and his two brothers, Jacob and John, and hiked up a high mountain to be alone. And Jesus appeared. Appearance was dramatically altered. A radiant light as bright as the sun poured from his face, and his clothing became luminescent, dazzling like lightning. He was transfigured before their eyes. Then suddenly Moses and Elijah appeared, and they spoke with Jesus. Peter blurted out, "Lord, it's wonderful that we're all here together. If you want, I will construct three shrines." One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Suddenly man wants to build a denomination, you know, just amazing. And Jesus never even acknowledged any of that stuff. But while Peter was still speaking, a radiant cloud, compassed of light, spread over them, enveloped all of them. And God's voice suddenly spoke from the cloud, saying, "This is my dearly loved son, the constant focus of my delight. Listen to him." The three disciples were dazed and terrified by this phenomenon, and they fell face down to the ground. But Jesus walked over and touched them, saying, "Get up, stop being afraid." And when they finally opened their eyes and looked around, they saw no one else there but Jesus. And they all hiked down the mountain together, and Jesus ordered them and said, "Don't tell anyone of the divine appearance you just witnessed. Wait until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." So don't say anything about this. What you've seen, don't talk about. In Mark 9 and verse 2, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter and the two brothers, Jacob and John, hiked up a high mountain to be alone. Jesus' appearance was dramatically altered. He was transfigured before their very eyes. His clothes sparkled and became glistening white, whiter than any bleach in the world could make them. Then suddenly, right in front of them, Moses and Elijah appeared and spoke with Jesus. Peter blurted out, "Beautiful teacher, this is so amazing to see the three of you together." Hey, this is awesome. "Why don't we stay here and set up three shelters, one for Moses, one for Elijah, one for you?" For all the disciples were in total fear, and Peter didn't have a clue what to say. So he just blurted out something. And then the radiant cloud began to spread over them, enveloping all of them. And God's voice suddenly spoke from the cloud, saying, "This is my most dearly loved son. Always listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked about, the disciples saw only Jesus, for Moses and Elijah had faded away. And they all hiked down the mountain together. Jesus ordered them, "Don't tell anyone of what you just witnessed. Wait until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." So the reason why we can talk about this today is because he was raised from the dead. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to ask God this week for a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. May every single one of you be set ablaze anew. May God light you up like a holy bonfire. We can talk about the well within, the river, the day of Pentecost, 120, one accord, one place. Suddenly, there was a power surge in the room. There came a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind, filled the whole house where they were sitting, appeared on them, cloven tongues like as a fire set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This only comes to those that are hungry, you know. The people praying for revival, they don't realize you can actually have it. These people crying out, oh God, send revival, and they don't realize it's actually not that far away. You actually don't have to work that hard. The Holy Ghost has actually already come. He doesn't have to come again to the earth. He already is in the earth, has been here for 2,000 years. We don't need another Pentecost. The first one still works. It's not broken. Are you with me? Yes. Holy Spirit didn't leave. Still moving. The winds of heaven are blowing. The fire of God is falling in the earth right now. What, 7 billion people on the planet? And the Holy Ghost is moving in China. The Holy Ghost is moving in India. The Holy Ghost is moving in the mountains of Tibet and Nepal. He's moving in Thailand, in Cambodia, in Vietnam. He's moving in the islands of the sea. He's moving in Africa. He's moving in Europe. Even now, you won't see this on CNN. You won't see this on ABC. You might not even see this on many Christian channels. But let me tell you, God's not dead and he's not sleeping. He's alive and he is moving in the earth today. There are two kingdoms, the kingdom of God, that is advancing at an ever-increasing pace. And then there's the kingdom of the world that is being shaken, and there's upheaval, and everything is trembling and quaking. And that kingdom will come down, but the kingdom of heaven shall stand forever and forever and forever. I can't get hungry for you. You have to get hungry for yourself. It's imperative. Thank you. You have to get hungry. You have to get thirsty. You have to get the same characteristic like the woman that issued blood. My life will never be the same because I'm going to touch him. And when you touch him, he touches you. You know, Dell gets persecuted because she wrote that it was in our meeting that she got touched that first time. And then now the people hear that it was in our meeting that the Lord healed her. And they even said to her, you're not going to go down there, are you? These are other people. These are other ministers. These are other people in church that are ashamed of this. But if Jesus was walking along a road, And we heard, let's just transport ourselves back to Bible days. And we heard that a woman with issue of blood was healed. We would go find out where he was. Because what you have to understand is God uses ordinary people. The Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Man always strives to take the glory. But when you give him the glory, you see, that's why criticism over what God's doing is actually you taking the glory. Because if you backed off of what you were doing because you were being criticized, that meant you were ashamed and you wanted to protect your name and your reputation, so you backed off what he was doing to then comply with what man is doing. And if you comply with what man is doing, you'll never have what he does. We're not changing. How do we change this? I can't get a hold of an eraser and sit with Mark 5 and erase it from the Bible. It's there. I can't get Luke chapter 4 and erase that. I can't get Acts chapter 1. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost and erase that. I can't get Acts chapter 2 and cloven tongues of fire, mighty rush, erase that. I can't. And they can say all the day that all that passed away, but I've got news for you. It did not. It's still there today as it was at the time of Jesus, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same. Always the same. Now, one of the things, and we're going to get into this week, you know, because we have a lot of friends in the evangelical world. Of course, everybody must get saved. Yes, they must get saved. But once they get saved, they must get baptized in the Holy Ghost. This is not an option. Because the one that instituted, the one that brought salvation is Jesus, but he is also the baptizer in the Holy Ghost and fire. So if you got saved and you didn't get baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire, you actually got half. You actually go into heaven with half of what he came to give you. Because the Holy Ghost can't come and indwell you and possess your being, which he'll never force himself on you. He only comes where he's wanted, which we're going to talk about that this week. How come some people, they get used of God and then they're not used of the Lord? And then other people, every time you see them, they can be used of God. Why? Why is that? Is God just favors one over another? Or is it because somebody just says, I'm going to live in this place? Somebody said, you can't live like this. Your brother Rodney, you can't live like this and be married and have children and go to work. Yes, you can. You can. In the middle of everything of life that comes against you. Yes, you can. You don't have to go live in a mountain in a monastery and become a monkey. I'm a monk. You don't have to take a vow of silence. You don't have to take a vow of poverty. You can live. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He said, these works shall you do, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. He said, I'm sending you another comforter. He's with you now, but he's going to be in you. Out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Somebody said, there he goes again, talking about that river. And we can't go anywhere. Every time we come around the river, it's about the river. Every time we come around, it's about the river. Well, this all he talks about, it's all about the presence of God and the anointing of God and the fire of God. I mean, surely there must be more to Christianity than the fire of God and the anointing of God and the river of God. Surely there must be more. I'm sure there are a lot of other things which we teach about in Bible schools and things that you need to know. But when it comes to carrying this anointing to the nation of the earth, all those other things, the colors of the priest's robe, the ephod, all of this stuff, everything, the colors, the Urim, the Thummim, and everything else of the Old Testament and the Ark of the Covenant and the laver and everything. Oh, that's wonderful. But if you don't have the fire of the Holy Ghost, it does not matter. It is not going to change one life. No life is going to be transformed. All it will be information. That's all it will be. You'll be a carrier of information until Jesus comes. You can become the greatest theologian. You can have so many degrees. You look like a thermometer. They can call you a D-min, a THD, a DD, a PhD, whatever D, a fiddle DD. You can be every D under the sun, but you can be dead. You can be D-E-A-D, dead. did. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life. The only thing that will shake America is a surge of the power of the fire of the Holy Ghost. The only thing that will shake Finland, that will shake Italy, that will shake the nations of the earth, that will shake Madagascar, that will shake Mauritius, that will shake Sweden, the only thing that will shake the nations of the earth is the power of the Holy Ghost. Nothing else. Nothing else. It's men and women carrying this power surge that will transform and shake cities and towns and villages. But Pastor, they will think I'm crazy. They already do. They already do. Pastor, they'll think I'm weird. They already do. Even without the anointing, you're weird. Even without the Holy Ghost, they think you're strange. They do. Don't get over on yourself on it. Trust me. Even without the anointing of the Holy Ghost, they think you're a little weird. So you might as even just be weirder still. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now let me close with this. And I have so much more, but we got another 7 days, 7.5 days. We don't have to do it all in one service. And my voice is leaving me at this juncture, but that's because I laid off preaching. I preached 4 times in Hawaii. I preached 3 times, and then he said, can you come back? The fire hit. Can you come back? So I had to go do last Sunday. There was a surge in the building. On the day of Pentecost, all of the 120 that were there, they got the surge. All of the 120. And then 3,000 were saved. And then the next day, 5,000 were saved. That's actually effectually 8,000 people were touched in 2 days because 120 people had a surge. You can't tell me that the pattern for the book of Acts is not the exact same pattern for the church in this hour. It's the exact same. Let me wrap up the message with this. Because I study revival and study churches and whatever. And I've looked at pastors of great churches that carry great anointing to begin with. Otherwise, they wouldn't have built a great church. And I wondered, how come they don't flow? Because I've seen them outside of their pulpit at the church. I've seen them in another place. And I thought, wow, that's an amazing ministry. But the moment you got back to the church, there was nothing. And the Lord said to me, because they don't exercise the anointing I put on their life for the church, they allow themselves to become a conference speaker. And they bring people in every time Dick and Harry come speak at conference. So if you're always having a speaker, nobody will come if you speak. Nobody's going to come if you speak. That's in their mind. But if they release the anointing of why God called them to that city and whatever, obviously people are there because that's the reason why they're there. It's because they stop surging. They stop surging. The power that they carried to come there to start that work stopped. Now they had to bring others to come in and do it. And I'm going to get into a lot of things here this week. Many of you that know the ministry and you followed us from the early days, you know that the message is the same. Yes, we obviously see things at a broader spectrum now. There's many things God's added. But the message is the same. Because the purpose is the same. Because the call and the assignment is the same. Our job is twofold. Number one, to revive the church, because people die. When the wind of heaven blows, brings refreshing. It revives those that have been overcome with the heat of the desert. A fresh breeze of heaven comes. A wind blows. That much needed rain comes to a dry and a thirsty land. A fire comes and burns and purges and burns out all the dross. So new life can come through. That oil of heaven to stop all the squeaking. That oil of heaven. That new wine to bring back the celebration and the realization that the joy of the Lord is your strength. One of the things that I've been very aware of over the years, and I tried to tell it, but as I explained to people, you have to be careful what you say from the pulpit, otherwise you can sound mystical. But there are many days when I'm ministering that it actually feels like there's a big shower head above my head. Like, anybody ever been in a rain shower? Wave your hand. All right, what about a waterfall? Anybody still in a waterfall? That's what it literally feels like. Now, you can't see that. But while I'm ministering, while I'm standing preaching, I can feel it coming down around me, on me, all the way down. But I never knew how to explain it until I read that passage. The power that always surged. Because the word virtue is the word dunamis, which is dynamite, which is explosive power. It's the same word found in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. You shall receive power. You shall receive dunamis. You shall receive virtue. In other words, the same substance that healed the woman with the issue of blood comes upon you when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost. That means you become a carrier of the very virtue of Jesus. This is not for one or two or three. This is for every person that names the name of Jesus Christ. This is for every believer. Whether you are called to the ministry or not, it's not an option. Somebody said, I would love the Lord to touch me. That's up to you. That's up to you. It's up to you how he touches you. Trust me, if it was up to me, I'd zap everybody, get you stuck. I would blow every place sky high. Their churches right now, we'd knock the whole choir, the deacon board. The preacher would knock off his throne. We'd stick him to the floor for 6 hours. If I had my way, they wouldn't talk English for 7 days. Every time they opened their mouth, tongues would come out of their mouth. When we were in Mauritius, we only had 5 services. and he was interpreting for me. And the power of God struck him like lightning. Struck him like lightning. And he couldn't talk in English till the next morning at breakfast. Isn't that right, Pastor? Give me a microphone. He was interpreting for me. He was interpreting. Don't worry about that. I'll handle there. He was interpreting. Tell him what happened.
Actually, it came to a point where Sister Adonika was sharing her testimony. And after a few minutes, she couldn't talk. And the same... The same thing happened to me. I could think in Creole or French or English.
Tell them in Creole, because there's people that understand it. Tell
them
in Creole.
I was thinking in Creole.
No, tell them in Creole right now. Tell them.
Would you speak? Pense en Creole?
Just speak it.
Mais. Yes. But when I opened my mouth, it was tongues. And throughout the night, actually, Prince Rina's daughter was there, and she was just laughing at me. And I would go just to order something to eat. It wouldn't come out.
Had that ever happened to you?
Never. Never. It was for the first time. I've wept, I've laughed, but never, never. And I say, to God be the glory. And I know that during this week, we'll experience that surge. And we came here. And I tell you, I want more. I want more. Even if when I leave, I can't express myself in English, never mind. I want more. Fire!
Several people's defibrillators just went off. It's life. It's life. It's life. For some that would look and think that this was some emotion of the flesh, you have no understanding of the workings of Almighty God. These are not emotions of the flesh, but holy emotions stirred up by the wind of heaven and by the lightnings of God. And as the wind of heaven comes and blows, and the lightnings of God strike in your own heart, So the emotions of heaven and the passions of heaven and the fire of heaven shall be stirred up from within, and out of your innermost being the rivers will flow. And that river will cause you not to just sit on a pew, but that river will not cause you just to touch one or two, but that river will cause you to reach out until multitudes shall know that there is another way that they can walk, and there's another way that they can go. And those that walk in darkness will see a great light, for the enemy on every side will be put to flight. For those that carry the power and the surge of heaven have come there also, and they'll say the days of the book of Acts have come again and are among men. So rejoice, get ready for a surge of the glory of God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. I'm going to ask every head bowed, every eye closed at this time. I want to give a call right now. I'm going to actually call for an additional call today. Something that we don't do, but that we're going to start doing more and more. We do this in the back room, but we're going to do it more in the call when I give the call. You'll see what it's going to be. Please, only the workers moving, please, at this time, just be for a few minutes, just be stayed. It's imperative. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you've come in this place, you fit into any one of these three categories, I will pray with you and for you. Maybe you've come in this place today, you've never given your life to Jesus. Friend, I want to ask you a question. What would happen if today was your last day on the earth? If you went home, put your head on your pillow in the middle of the night, you breathed out your last breath, where would you go? Where would you spend eternity? I want you to know there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And you don't have to go to a devil's hell, because 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross, the price was paid, the blood was shed. And just like that old song said, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain. Today the power of sin will be broken, the power of guilt and shame will be removed from your life. You might have come in here one way, but you'll leave another way. Today he calls you. Jesus is standing and he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Come, he says. Come. Will you surrender to him? Will you say, Jesus, I give my life to you today and I'll serve you. Secondly, maybe you've come to this place, you gave your life to the Lord in days gone by, but you've grown cold, you're not serving God like you should. There was a time when you were radically on fire for God, but something happened, you lost that fire, you lost that passion, you lost that first love, you lost that joy, that peace. Even when you heard the testimonies today, you say, I used to be like that, but something happened. But today he will come and restore to you the joy of your salvation. Maybe it's something hidden that no one can see. Pride, unforgiveness, bitterness, jealousy, anger, lust, the hidden things that clog the heart of man. Maybe it's something outward that everyone can see, and the devil obviously uses that against you to keep in a place of guilt and condemnation where you feel like God will never use you because of things that have happened in your life. Well, he's a liar, and God's a God of a second chance and a new beginning today. If you'll just surrender your life afresh and say, Lord, here I am. Maybe it's not hidden or outward as we described. Maybe it's a storm that came against your life. You were going along and like a hurricane from hell, this thing hit you. A sudden divorce, a bankruptcy, the loss of a loved one, a sudden illness, the betrayal of a close friend, the loss of a job. Something happened that rocked your world. But today you say, I'm coming back. Will you surrender afresh to him? And then lastly, if you're in this place, you love the Lord, that's not even a question. But today, you're not sure. You don't have the assurance that you're a child of God. But today, you want to know that you know that you know that you're a child of God. I want to pray with you and for you. And then one other invitation. If you are here today and you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, in power and fire, with the evidence of speaking other tongues, I want to be able to pray for you as well. So if you fit into any one of these three categories, I want you quickly, right where you are, put your hand up right now and say, pray for me. I need Jesus. All across this building. God bless you. 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 Hands are going up all across, young and old. Just slip it up high and say, yes, today's my day Today's my day of freedom. Today's my day of liberty. I'm not leaving this place the same way I came. Today's my day. I'm turning things around today. Slip your hand up. Slip your hand up. Yes. And once you've raised it, you can put it down. I want you to look at me, if you would, please. In this section over here, all the way under the overhang there, if you didn't raise your hand but want to be included in the prayer we pray, quickly slip up your hand, say, include me, Pastor, please include me. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Anybody else? Anyone else? This section here, you didn't raise your hand but want to be included, put your hand up right now and say, include me. God bless you. Anybody else? Just slip it up high, slip it up high, slip it up high. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you, God bless you. Anybody else? Raise up high and say, yes, God bless you. This section, you didn't raise your hand but want to be included. God bless you, God bless you. God bless you, sir. Anybody else? Yes. I'm going to ask every person that raised your hand. I want you to stand to your feet right now, right across the building. Please. Everyone that raised your hand, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. I want to pray with you and for you. I want you to come from where you are. Bring your personal belongings and come. Stand around the altar right now. Put them right here, please. Right here in front of me. To follow Jesus, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Put him right in front, guys. Right in front. Right in front.
No turning back. The cross before me.
The world behind me.
The world behind me.
The cross before me. The cross before me. No turning back. No turning back. You can take the whole world. But give me Jesus. You can take. But give me Jesus. You can take the whole world. But give me Jesus. No turning back.
No turning back.
Now, I want you to look at me right now. Regardless of what friends, family, and people that you hang out with make a decision, this decision has got nothing to do with them. I'll never forget the testimony I heard of a story that took place. And I might even have the evangelist's names wrong, but one of the great tent revivalists of the 40s. And there was a young man and a young girl that were sitting in the tent. And the preacher preached that night and said, it's tonight, heaven or hell, to make the decision. And they were just dating at the time. They were going to, you know, get married. And she grabbed his hand and she said, come, let's go. And he shook his head. He said, no. She said, come, we must go, we must go. And he said, no. And she turned and she looked at him. And here's what she said. I never forgot this. I heard this when I was a kid. She looked at this man that she loved. She said to him, if you won't go to heaven with me, I won't go to hell with you. She got up and she ran. That man, listen to this, that man mocked and jumped up and ran out of the building. About a minute later, there was a screech of tires as they picked up a body where the brains were smashed into the front grille of the car. That within a minute from saying no, he already was in a lost eternity without Jesus. I see CNN is putting out the news of Stephen Hawking's final book, The Great Scientist, in the wheelchair, you know, talks with a computer. And this book has just been released, and it said there is no God. But guess what? See, it came out after his death, but Stephen Hawking knows now there is a God. Are you with me? But CNN, of course, just keep pushing it out. And I messaged them and said, there is no CNN. There is no CNN. There's no God, there's no CNN. This is not about religion. Because religion is man's vain attempt to reach God. Christianity is God reaching man through the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus came for you. Some say, what about my family? They'll come in because of you. What about my friends? They'll come in because of you. Somebody said, what if they don't want to serve God? That's their choice. But today you make the choice to serve him. And if God could take a person like Dell, which you can't imagine the pain that she's been through, and now God's using her at the age of 70, then what is God going to do through every single one of you? What is God going to do through every single one of you? So we're going to pray right now. If you mean business with God, God means business with you. I want you to close your eyes right now. I want you to raise your right hand to heaven. That's where your help comes from. And pray this prayer together with me. Say this out loud. Say, Father, I come to you in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, you said in your word, if I confess with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. And I believe in my heart that God has raised you from the dead. I will be saved. And so, Father, right now, I confess Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart right now. Take out the stony heart. Put in a heart of flesh. Wash me. Cleanse me, change me, fill me, use me. Let me never be the same again. I turn my back on the world. I turn my back on sin. And I follow you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. Thank you that on the third day you rose for me. And thank you that you're coming back again for me. From this day on, I'll never be the same again. I confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He is my Lord and my Savior. And right now, by faith in the finished work of the cross and by the shed blood of Jesus, I am saved. Thank you, Lord, for saving me now. Now lift both hands and just thank him right now. Just lift both hands. Thank you for watching today on YouTube. Please press the subscribe button and also the notification button and like and get the word out so others can watch.